Welcome to the Etherreal podcast. I am your host, Katie Sloan. I am an artist, a spiritual life coach, and a Reiki master and teacher. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about the ethereal realms, angels, supernatural experiences, all of those things that seem really woo-woo and way out there, and we're going to be keeping it real. We're going to be normalizing these things because as we move into this golden age of Aquarius, this new 2000-year cycle, our consciousness really raises, and these experiences are becoming more and more frequent as we tune in to those frequencies that are all around us. And so sit back, relax, and enjoy. Welcome back to the Etherreal podcast. Today I am super excited as I have a very special guest. Not only is she a mother, an author, and an all-round feminine powerhouse, she is the founder and CEO of the world's first meditation studio in the world, that is Unplug Los Angeles. Welcome, Susie Yaloff-Schwartz. How are you?
Thank you so much, Katie. I'm so excited to be on with you, and you know I'm your biggest fan.
Oh, I am your biggest fan. I'm like so happy to have you on. And there's just so much to talk about. My goodness. First of all, before we go into our unplug chat, which there's just so much to discuss, I want to talk a little bit about your fashion background, because when I did the Unplug podcast a couple of months ago, it came to light that we both have that background, with myself being a fashion designer. Mm-hmm. And yourself working as fashion editor at Glamour magazine. Uh-huh. So how did that come to be? Tell us a little bit about that.
When I was 12 years old, I knew what I wanted to do with my life. Like, I wanted to be a fashion editor. I wanted to be a fashion designer. And when I graduated from college, my first job out of school was working for this fashion designer named Giorgio Armani. And I did his PR. I was an assistant to the head of PR for Giorgio Armani Global. And it was just such a different world during that time, where I was able to dress all the celebrities. There was no like stylist. There was nothing in the middle. It was just direct contact. The actors wanted to wear his clothes, and we provided that for them. And the stylists and fashion editors wanted Armani, and I would literally be like a travel agent for the outfit. So I would ship it from country to country to country so that people could shoot it for the magazines. And that was such an exciting job. And then my boss ended up going to this store called Barney's New York, and he connected me to someone at Vogue magazine. So I ended up working at Vogue for 3 years.
Wow.
That's really where my magazine experience started. And I went from Vogue to Elle, to Marie Claire, and then I landed at Glamour magazine, where I was there for 14 and a half years doing makeovers, covering the red carpet on different television shows for the Oscars, etc. And then traveling the world covering fashion in New York, Paris, and Milan, which was so exciting, so great. I absolutely loved it. And I had the best job, and was really happy working in fashion.
Wow. Oh my gosh, what a story. So you really were living your dreams. So
I was.
The next question is, were you aware, obviously we know we're the creator of our own reality. Were you aware of that back then? Did you know about, like, you know, visualization, or how do you feel it came to be?
You know, the truth is, when I was in college, I loved spirituality. I would go to psychics. I would go to mediums. I would try to learn how to astrally project myself and go into float tanks and get into crystals. And I loved all that stuff. And when I started working in fashion, on the weekends, I would sometimes go to all the different metaphysical stores. And like, for me, it was a fun thing. It was what I was doing when I wasn't working, because I loved it. But I never really like dived in too deep. I mean, I dived in, but I wasn't like ever thinking that it could be a career. And when my husband wanted to move to Los Angeles after I was on a trip out here for the Oscars covering fashion, he kind of dared me to just drop everything and start all over again. And at the time, what happened was there was an editor working at Glamour who was about to leave. She was 60 years old. She had only ever done fashion. And she told me not to be like her. Don't just do one thing for the rest of your life. Try different things. And I was like, it really kind of hit a chord with me. So she encouraged me really to just drop my dream job and move out here. And when I came out to Los Angeles, I thought I was going to be in fashion and working in TV like I had been. But in while I was working in fashion, I was feeling really stressed because it was like a whole different world, leaving my family and everyone I knew with three kids. To go back to work felt a little bit uncomfortable. I had much more of a support system when I lived in New York. And my mother-in-law was like, you really need to breathe. And my mother-in-law was actually the one who taught me how to meditate. And when I realized like I could transform myself in 3 minutes, I was like, I need to be doing this all the time. So I started getting into studying meditation. And it was during that time that I was like, this is the greatest thing. Everybody needs to be doing this. I need to drop what I'm doing, and I need to figure out a way to show people how easy this is and inspire people to do it every day because it's changed my life. And yeah, that's kind of how that happened.
That's exactly what you've done, and you've made it accessible for, normal human beings. I'm sure many people don't think that I'm normal, but I class myself as a normal human being, and I'm glad there's such an accessible way to meditate. I feel like before Unplug, it was just kind of there was this stigma where people felt like you had to go to like the Himalayas and go on like a huge pilgrimage or be really kind of out there to meditate. And it's not. It's as simple as breathing and drinking water, and it is life-changing. So I
I
think
agree. It's funny because when I first started doing it, I met with a guy who had a meditation app called Andy Pudicombe. I'm sure you've heard of him. He owns Headspace. And we actually went out for lunch. So he was actually doing, making meditation simple for the masses, just starting Headspace. And I remember having lunch with him, and he's like, do you really think people are going to go to a studio to do, to meditate? I guess he must have thought of doing something like that, but he never did. And I said, I 100% think it's gonna, people will want to do it. And that's when I launched Unplug, and I was, I had this vision, and it really did turn into this like scene. And it was kind of a cool scene for people to go there and meet like-minded people. It's like, when you go into a metaphysical store, Katie, like, how that feels. You walk in there and you just don't want to leave. You want to look at all the books and, hit the gong and play with the bowls. And you see all these things that you could be there for hours. I don't know. I'm sure anybody who feels like I do about that kind of
Oh, yeah.
stuff just wants to stay there forever. Well, that's kind of how Unplug was. But we had sound bath classes, guided imagery classes, and then we'd have special classes like what you're doing, angelology, and it's amazing. It was amazing when it was physical.
Oh, I
Now
know.
it's digital.
Yeah, which is amazing too, because we get to reach people all over the globe. But oh gosh, every night I do like a little sound meditation with my children at bedtime. And one of the tracks that I always use for my angel class. So I literally transport myself back to the studio and to the WeHo studio and to the Santa Monica studio. And I just get this feeling of bliss and like, how lucky am I that I got to sit on that platform and, and guide people on an angelic journey. It really is. That Unplug is, there's many highlights to my career, but it's definitely up there with the best of them. And I'm so grateful to have been able to do that. And I hope in the future that it will come back physically. Of course it will. It just seems like it's taking forever. But right now we have to focus on the positive of the fact that we really have this wide reach through the Zoom classes. And of course, now I have my weekly class with Unplug, which I just absolutely love. Every Sunday, I'm excited to do that class, and the numbers are growing every week, which is so exciting.
I love
And we're
that.
reaching people like all over the world, which of course we couldn't have done if it was in the studio. So Every cloud has a silver lining.
I have to say, it's probably even better because think about that. You are now based in the UK.
Right.
So you were teaching in our Los Angeles studio, and then you moved to the UK, and yet you are still teaching almost from the Los Angeles studio. So, but yet people are showing up. I mean, I don't know if you asked them in the beginning where they're coming from, but where are they coming from?
Yeah, I mean, we had Chicago this week, New Zealand, we have New York, Pennsylvania, and UK, of course. So yeah,
I
a real
mean,
mix.
isn't that amazing that people from all over the globe can get together and just experience each other's energy
Yeah.
within 1 hour, not even 45 minutes, in your class, and sending off that vibration from where they are and literally sharing it with people in their, not realm, but their area. AKA realm too.
And
That's so, it's so cool
oh, it's so
versus
cool.
what we were before. So like when you say silver lining, this pandemic has actually in some ways been so much better for us because it's helped us grow globally and
Absolutely.
not just locally. I mean, before people would cry when they had to leave Los Angeles because they were like, oh, I'm gonna miss our plug. They don't have to miss us anymore because they can literally just hop on to one of our 6 to 8 classes every single day
Yeah.
and, you know, take a live streaming class with one of our incredible pros.
Oh, absolutely. And I love what you said about there being, having that vision of people dotted all around the globe doing these beautiful classes. And it's funny because I always have that vision of like we're creating like this web, this grid of energy from all these different points on the globe. And we're
Yes.
uploading that into the collective. And it's something I say a lot in my classes. I'm like, don't underestimate how powerful you are and how powerful it is that we're all coming together like this and we are uploading light and we are downloading light. And it's really an incredibly powerful thing to do.
You know what? When I think about it too, Katie, like imagine, you know how you always see those pandemic maps where it's like the circle of where the pandemic is the strongest?
Right.
Well, we should like make some kind of cool unplug map that looks like that. So you can see where all these people are meditating from and they're spreading the love and the light of
Oh my
unplug.
gosh, I love that
I'm
idea.
going to do that after this
Yeah, you have
podcast.
to. Yes.
That's like a post.
Yes, it so is. And then on top of that, we've got the Unplug app as well, which is totally going viral. It was named number one in Elle magazine, sleep app.
Best meditation app for sleep, which is so exciting.
Wow.
And it's been like in a lot of different things as the best meditation app for 2021, along with some of the best apps like Headspace, Calm, which is so exciting to be, you know, kind of put into a category with them. We're all doing such different things. I mean, what makes Unplugged different than those meditation apps is that ours is, you know, we're exploring different things like angelology and, you know, chakras and, you know, sutras and, you know, mindfulness and meditation for divorce, meditation with your dog, meditation for focus and productivity. We've got that, but we also have sound baths, breath work, and all the different types of things that people want to explore, but are a little bit nervous about. So we kind of simplify it. We make it really easy for anyone, like whether they're, you know, the CEO of a Fortune 500 company and are really skeptical to someone who's like really interested in exploring different modalities, to onboard with us.
Yeah, I noticed that whenever I would teach in person as well in the studios, there's just such an eclectic mix of people coming together. It was really beautiful. And I feel so grateful that my last class was I think it was my special event, Friday night special event, and it was totally sold out.
And I think there was like 70 people that showed up, and we were like turning people away. And at first we were like weren't sure, because of course Unplug is very, simple and not so much woo-woo. And of course Angels is considered quite woo-woo to a lot of people. But I think that you have such a great base that when people have been introduced to meditation, I think that it's just like a natural progression to then want to delve into more woo-woo out there subjects.
Right. And
So
that's the thing, like people want to, it's the same thing with me. When I first started meditating, I was like, don't say this, don't say that, don't do this, don't do that. Like, keep it super simple. I still try really hard to keep everything minimalistic because I think you'll reach a wider base when you keep it much simpler and let people have their own experience as opposed to kind of cramming down different lineages down people's throats. We don't
right.
do that at Unplug. But I do think people want to explore and get a little more out there and be guided by someone that they trust. And that's why I love that you're teaching there because, people really trust you. You have your feet on the ground and you have your, you're like the last person you would have ever thought would dive into this, but you're in it and you love it and you teach people how to get comfortable with talking to angels. And that's not an easy thing to do, Katie. Like very, when you meet people who are talking to angels, you're like, okay, we're gonna, who is this person? But you're like, you want to go out to like, a Soho house with.
Oh, I miss Soho House.
I know. It's back open here, so that's good.
Oh, it is. That's great. Oh, we're still in lockdown here in England. But 8th of March, it's looking to open up again, maybe
When you
schools.
say lockdown, like what does that mean? Are you allowed to leave your homes or no?
Yeah, we're allowed to leave our homes. So I feel bad saying this, but lockdown here is actually nowhere near as strict as lockdown in Los Angeles when we experienced that, over the summer. So it's, non-essential businesses are closed. You can go out, you can leave your house, but you have to be in your bubbles. So, stay in your bubble of people. No socializing really. But we're out in the countryside, so it's really beautiful and just to be at one with nature and away from the chaos. But schools have closed. When we arrived here, they were open, which was a game changer because, as
Right.
as a mother, that is so hard to not only be, working, running your own business, but to then be homeschooling your children with everything else that goes with having children and being a mother.
Right.
It's really hard. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, Susie, because you are a mum of three boys,
Right.
which is just such an amazing achievement. Boys as well, full of energy. So I can say
Right.
really, I have a boy and a girl. But motherhood in itself is a full-time job. Like, how do you get that balance in your day between work and family life?
My friend said to me, and I thought this was the best piece of advice. When I was first out here, it was mostly I was going to school or my kids were at school with a lot of stay-at-home moms. And sometimes I had to miss a game and I felt so badly about that. I'm sure there's other moms who feel like that. They have to miss a game and they're like, oh my God, this is like, I'm the worst mom. And I remember saying to her, gosh, I feel so bad. Like every other mom is there for every single thing. And I sometimes have to miss things because of work. And she said, Susie, a 90 is still an A. You can screw up on 10% of parenting and still get an A in parenting.
Oh, I
And
love
I remember loving that quote. Her name was Michelle O'Brien, so much because it's true. None of us are perfect parents. There's no like rule book for parenting. Parenting is really hard. And even if you are a perfect parent, you're going to have challenges because kids have their own personality and they're going to want to experiment. They're going to want to do things and they're going to hate you for no reason, as they get older, because that's what kids do. They're like breaking away. So I always like to say, I'm not the perfect parent. I try really hard to do the best that I possibly can, but I forgive myself. I forgive myself and I love myself and I do the best that I can. And I wish more parents would understand that no one, there's, I remember I also heard this and I love it so much. There's this thing, I met this woman and she talked about the Polaroid child. And the Polaroid child is your friend's child who you think is perfect. And you have a Polaroid image of them in your head, like this is the perfect kid. Why can't my kids be like that Polaroid kid, right? And the truth is there is no such thing as the Polaroid child. Every mother has their own struggles. Every kid has their own struggles. I've never, you know, people might present as perfect family, perfect parents, but they're not. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist. But you might think it does because I still have that Polaroid. There are a lot of Polaroid kids out there for me. And I'm like, why is it my, you know, and people might think my kids are the Polaroid kid. And sometimes they think of that and I'm like, oh God, you have no idea. So just so you know, it's hard. Parenting is hard, whether you are a stay-at-home mom, you know, crushing it every single day, trying to like just do the best that you possibly can, or you're a working mom trying to balance both. I think both are equally as hard.
Yeah, and you're always going to have guilt. I feel like it's just ingrained in us as mothers. You know, I've really done both. So with Gracie, I moved to New York with my husband. He was on Broadway. And I was like, I felt like a single mom at the time because he was just working all the time and I had no support network. So it was just me and Gracie day in, day out. It was like Groundhog Day. And I honestly think if ever there was a point in my life where I was going to go crazy, it was that point because I had no help. Yet I was grateful that it was just, you know, me and Gracie and I had all those hours spent with her. But the truth of the matter is that there needs to be balance. I'm a better mom when I have balance in my life, when I can do my work, when I can have, you know, get my workout in, when I get my course, get my meditation in. I am a better mom. I have more patience and I have more time and I genuinely enjoy spending that time with the children. So right. I think that it's such an important point. Like we'll always have guilt no matter what end of the spectrum we are. We're just going to make peace with that and know that we're all doing a wonderful job.
And I want to say that too, like a lot of parents are selfless. They give. And mostly the kids don't really totally appreciate it because they're just expecting that the parents are going to be like that, right? But I think it is so important as a parent to take time for yourself. And I can tell you from experience, because I'm my own before and after on that. Like when I didn't meditate and I was raising my kids, I had much less patience than I do right now. I had much less time. I had much less present moment awareness. Okay, so those are the three things that I didn't realize that I was not doing. I was impatient. I wasn't present. And what was the third thing that I said?
You didn't have enough time.
I didn't have enough time. So now when I meditate, it's like time slows down for me because I'm present when I'm in time. So when you are present with your kids, that's really all they want. They want to feel like seen and heard and like you're there for them. And if you're looking at your phone and you're like constantly thinking about getting them to school and rushing, that was me before. Yeah, I'm no longer like that because of meditation. So people think, oh, meditation, I don't have time for that. You need to make the time for it because it will make you a better parent. I genuinely believe that because it'll slow you down. It'll make you be able to pause before you react to them having a messy room or, you know, not moving fast enough.
Yeah, I could not agree more, 100%. And I just love that concept. It's like when we meditate, it's like more time is created in the day. Things are in flow. You know, things align for you when I don't meditate very rarely now. There's a day where I feel it. The day is incoherent. You know, the synchronicities don't flow. Right. And so for me, it really is as vital as like drinking water. Like I have to do it. I have to do it because I know that everything's going to be in flow and that, you know, of course it's going to be challenges, but I'm just going to be able to overcome them because I've centered myself. I've grounded myself. and I'm being present. And it has absolutely taught me to be a better parent. Even just the small moments, you know, this morning, a little boy, Lennon, came give me a hug, and I was on my phone checking my emails, and I thought, I'm going to put this down. I'm going to really enjoy this hug because he's 4 years old and I can't believe he's already 4 years old, but soon enough he'll be like 8 years old and then he's not going to really want to be giving me hugs every 5 minutes. So I'm going to really enjoy it. And I did. I just took a breath and I like really enjoyed the hug. And I thought, God, I'm so glad that I'm more aware and more present in these moments. And I think the pandemic has taught us that a lot as well. You know, it's taught us to just to be, you know, to live in the present moment, to take it day by day. We have to. There's no
and it's also wasted energy. It's also given us more time, this pandemic. Yeah. Because I mean, on one hand, if we're not talking about all the horrible parts of the pandemic, like death and illness, like, you know, obviously I feel for anybody who's lost anyone during this pandemic or who has suffered themselves. But that putting aside, we have all gained more time because of this pandemic. And time is the one thing money cannot buy. So it is the greatest gift in a way to be able to actually have this time.
Yeah.
If you had to say what's more important to you, time or money, to the richest people in the world, they would all say time. They can't buy it. Like, it's what Elon Musk says he wishes he has more of. It's what, you know, Bill Gates wishes he has more of, and they will never have more of it.
Yeah.
So here we are, as Arianna Huffington's mother said, we are time affluent right now. All of us. We are rich with time. We need to really acknowledge that and try to, you know, actually appreciate it while it's happening, as opposed to like, this pandemic's going to end because all pandemics end, looking back and being like, God, I wish I'd, you know, used that time differently.
Yeah.
Think about that. How do you wish you had used this time that you have right now? That's what being present does. That's what meditating does. It allows you to actually have awareness. Where's your energy going? Where are your thoughts going?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And are they all over the place, or are they, you got that focus and that centeredness? So Susie, tell me, what is your favorite type of meditation? Obviously there's so many different, it's like working out. I say you've got, you know, you've got your yoga, your Pilates, your soul. Right. Same with meditation. What is yours? Breath work.
Christine. To be honest, I prefer guided meditation. I love meditating with like Camilla Sacred Dollar Up or you or Ben Decker, David G, Heather Hayward, Lauren Ekstrom, Melanie Kaplan, you know, like Stephanie Carson, all these different people. I like when they guide me, because I can just sit back and enjoy. Yeah, so yeah. I love this guy, Peter Opperman, who does Your Future Self. I've listened to that a ton. I don't know if you've ever tried that on the Unplug app.
I love meditation like that.
Yeah, so Peter Opperman and Johnny O'Callaghan do some great guided visualizations, and I love them because they help me see things I've never seen before. Wow. And it's a part of myself that I can't access without their guidance. So for me, guided visualization is my favorite type of meditation.
Oh, I love that answer, because of course that's what I specialize in.
I love it.
Mine are definitely next level. I think the last, the class that you were in last, I was kind of laughing to myself. I was like, oh, Susie likes it simple, but this is not as far as my meditations go, this was like really way out there. I mean, I think I took you into the center of the moon and we went on like a cosmic elevator.
I love that. Take me on a car. I'll go up. Take me to the
like, trillion, trillion star on the cosmic elevator.
I love that. So yeah. Susie, tell me, what is the most supernatural experience that you've ever had?
For me, it's when I was in a float tank and I literally felt like I left my body.
Wow.
And I know it was probably just me being in the space between, actually there's two, I'll tell you another really weird one, which you'll love. That space between like being asleep and being awake, you know, that weird state.
Yeah.
I was definitely in that state for a prolonged period of time. Because when you're in a flotation tank, you're floating in water, but the water temperature is the same as your body temperature. So you don't even feel wet and you don't feel like you're in water. So yeah. You just feel like you're floating, and it was pitch black. So that was kind of cool. But I think the weirdest cosmic thing that ever happened to me was when my father had just died. My son, we all actually, and my babysitter, all went to the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. And it was pouring, raining outside. And this was like a week after my dad had died. And we were in the lobby waiting for a taxi cab so that we could get into a cab because it was dumping in rain. And there was the lobby glass door and there was a glass door. And all of a sudden, I saw this guy turn around and wave at me like this. And he was wearing the hat and he almost looked like he was a movie projector face of my father.
Wow.
Looking at me and waving. And I was with my son, Austin, and I was with my babysitter. And I looked at them and they looked at me and I said, did you just see what I just saw? And they both had the exact same vision that I had.
Wow.
That's the weirdest, coolest thing that has ever happened.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Oh, so he totally sent you that as a sign. Either it was, I mean, there's a possibility. Oh.
And then he turned back around and it was no longer my father and he didn't have a hat on.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay, so the person was there, but he didn't have the hat on and he had a different face.
Mm-hmm. And he turned around and it was like a movie projector projected an image on top of this person.
Wow. So that was your dad. That was your dad showing up in the physical realm for you.
I think so. I don't know. What was that? You tell me.
That would be my interpretation. And the fact that you were all looking in that direction at that time. I think because our loved ones do that when they transition, they can send us signs. I mean, that's a very powerful one though, Susie, because it takes a lot of energy to manifest physically like that. Mm-hmm. Usually it'll be you know, you'll see a recurrent sign from them. From my grandma, she sends me a robin.
Uh-huh.
And like the robin just kind of follows me on walks and stuff. It's really cool. For a lot of people, it'll be like the white butterfly, something like that. You know, physical sign, like a feather, much like what angels send us. But to actually like see an apparition of a spirit or, you know, a projection of a spirit like that takes a lot of energy from the spirit realm to do that. So yeah, definitely.
I know that, and I've asked a couple times in my dreams, like before I go to bed, I'll be like, "Can you come visit me?" And that has happened several times.
Oh, I love that! And you remember your dream the next day.
Uh-huh.
Wow! Yeah, our loved ones can visit us in the dream state pretty easily, actually. So that's really good. Invite them into your dreams like that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'll take a few goes, you know, it may come like the following week or the following, you know, a month later, but just keep putting that signal out because they hear us. But I say, you know, our loved ones, when they pass, we often just think of them kind of course they're at peace, but we kind of think of them, I don't know, in heaven or just kind of floating around the ethers, but they're actually really busy bees. They have like a lot of projects going on, you know, they are planning other lifetimes. They are, yeah, perhaps coming in as guides for people in physical lives, you know, like yourself. Mostly it'll be as in like your dad could plan to come and be one of your guides, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Or, you know, usually if we're having it'll be the next generation. If we've got a baby on the way, then those that have passed in the family lineage will be deciding who's going to be the guide. In my classes, I call it your celestial team of light. So there'll be a member of your celestial team. We often have a couple of guides from the family lineage. So it's like,
I have really a question cool. about that.
Yeah, of course.
So if a soul incarnates and comes into the body of a child, let's say, mm-hmm. are they able to be both there inside of a human life form and there outside, kind of connecting with people?
So when you say come into the soul of a child, you mean born as a baby?
Yeah, like, let's say someone like, you know, a spirit reincarnates.
Yeah.
Okay. If they reincarnate into another lifetime, like you just mentioned,
yeah,
are they still able to connect with you outside of that life?
Ah, so like, are they still, so for instance, like when we pass, would that person still be there to greet us? Do you mean that kind of thing? Like, would they
yeah,
still
like that, or like when you call on them, or when you're like, if they're busy with another yeah. being inside of a body of another life, are they still
so available? usually it takes a while to reincarnate. It's quite rare that you will reincarnate right away. Usually those lifetime, you know, every lifetime takes a lot of planning. And although time is only for this world, in our concept of time, usually an early reincarnation would be 20 to 25 years. That would be early. Sometimes people will wait 100, 200 years to incarnate. Wow. So most of the time, kind of lineages will transition. And then it will be like all about balancing karma and, you know, really a lot of planning and Akashic records and all that comes into it as well. It's very, very complex. But at the end of the day, we are multidimensional beings and we have an oversoul, and the oversoul contains all of the lifetimes that we have ever lived. And then, so think of our physical life as just one branch of the tree. There's always going to be the tree, right? There's always going to be like all of the other branches that are up there in the ethers. I mean, it's such a complex subject.
So let's say your soul, for instance,
right?
You're here, but are you also there?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there is an aspect of myself that is up on the other realms with other beings, guiding me, my higher self. There's my higher self, and then there's my oversoul, and you know, that consciousness that merges with the infinite consciousness. Mm-hmm. So think of it as layers, and we're kind of in the lowest vibratory layer right now in the physical. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about, you know, with the angel meditations, we can really take ourselves and go off to those higher dimensions. It's my most favorite thing to talk about. And you know, the oversoul and all of the Akashic records and the different lives that we've lived, it's just so, it's fascinating. And it's just, you can never learn it all. There's so much to learn.
Have you done an Akashic record thing at Unplug?
No, I haven't.
We need to do that. Can we do a special Akashic record class?
Oh yeah, we should. So you want me to do like an Akashic records meditation or teach about the Akashic records?
Both.
Yeah, we could do that. Oh, I love it. We're going even further out there. I love that.
Yeah. Well, Friday nights at Unplug, always in the studio and also on live streaming, we always do an interesting class that's not predictable or not classic Unplug. So we've done a lot of different things.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I did my angels and star beings class. That was before I did my regular one. And I love that.
So that's what Friday night is. Friday night's for fun.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. I'd love to do that. We should definitely get that on the books, Susie.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, this has been so fun. So before we round up, I just want to ask, is there anything else that you want to talk about?
Well, really, that's it. But I want people to know that if you need support and you want to learn how to meditate, or just even like be guided by someone incredible, check out the Unplug Meditation app, because literally there's a different meditation every single day on the meditation of the day. It's 10 minutes and under. It's so easy, inspirational, and also will make you feel present, calm, and inspired every single day. So definitely check it out. And I'd like to, is this going to be video or is it only audio?
Probably just be audio.
Okay, it's the blue icon with the UN on it.
Yes, the blue icon with the UN in it. So definitely check out the Unplug app. And I'm super excited to be bringing my Angel series to the Unplug app soon as well.
Yeah, I would love that.
Figuring out my sound so that it's perfect. But I can't wait to bring that to the app. So exciting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Susie. It has been wonderful talking with you. I feel like we need to have a round two again soon.
I would love that. And can you tell everybody when your class is on Unplug Live so they can come?
Yeah, so it's my Celestial Sunday class. It's 11:30 PST. It's 7:30 PM GMT. And then I always say check your time zone wherever you are. But yeah, that's on a Sunday, and it's a 30-minute express angel meditation class where you can just come and receive some blissful angel vibrations and go on your own journey. So yeah, please join me. It's amazing. Every week people have really quite profound experiences.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.